Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
We're going to be talking about myths behind these so-called bans on change therapy. And we're going to be talking to an expert, Dr. Julie Hamilton, a licensed counselor in Florida. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. This issue of banning change therapy is just another manifestation of a frankly intolerant and radical homosexual or LGBT agenda, whatever you want to call it. And in this case, it's harmful. It literally goes against science. It goes against observation. It goes against counseling principles to say that a client in this area cannot get the kind of counsel that he or she so desperately wants and seeks from a licensed counselor who's an expert in the area. Dr. Hamilton, there's a couple of myths here, and we want to talk about them. The three that I'll just put out, and we can go through them individually, is one, that you're born gay, two, that you can't change, and three, attempts to change are harmful. And when these people are promoting these laws, that's what they say. You're born gay, you can't change, and any attempts to change are harmful. So let's address them one at a time. What about this first myth that you are born gay?
Yes. Researchers in the 90s were desperately looking to prove that people were born homosexual, and they were unable to prove that. There were theories that came up, and a lot of information got spread in our culture. Oh, a gay gene has been found. Well, really, a gay gene was not found. The researchers said that wasn't the case, and the study on genes was never replicated. It was later completely dismissed, but the culture went on believing that there was really a gay gene.
Yeah, you don't really hear that, do you, in the media?
Right, and you have these... identical twin studies that...
Well, now we know with that's right. Now we know with the identical twin studies that it is not biological, because in the ones that have been done in recent years with large samples, the Australian Twin Registry and other large samples, they have found that with identical twins, when one is homosexual, less than 20% of the time is the other one homosexual.
Yeah, and so if it was average, a biological, I mean, if you both have... If you're identical twins,
yes,
one has blue eyes, the other has blue eyes.
Yes.
One has blonde hair, the other has blonde hair.
Same genes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we know, and even activist researchers will admit it is not biological. The American Psychological Association admits that. If you go on their website, they admit that researchers never found a cause. But unfortunately, the culture believes it's biological.
And, you know, I think they're walking a real tightrope here, because they started off with this born gay, so that you're wired that way. That's their,
yes,
that was their narrative, and therefore ride the back of the civil rights movement, just like you're born with a certain skin color, therefore you have an immutable characteristic. You're born gay, you can't change.
Right.
Therefore, we should have some protection for you. But now it's really morphing into, well, it's really an expression, and it's this continuum. And you can change over time. You can even experiment with who you might be and are encouraged to do so even at a young age. But one of the things you can't do is, there's still at this point, you can't change going from heterosexual to having same-sex attractions and changing those same-sex attractions. So let's talk about the second myth. I think this whole born gay that way is really kind of a tightrope that I don't know where they're ultimately going to go, but clearly no evidence for being born gay. The second myth is, you shouldn't do this counseling because you can't change anyway.
Right, right. And that's not true. Research has revealed that change does happen. In fact, NARS did a review of the last 100 years of data and found throughout the literature over the last 100 years examples of change, both clinical case studies and research studies that have proven change is possible. One study revealed that change, even just through ministries, the same success rates occurred in this issue as in the area of depression. So in other words, people that had same-sex attractions experienced a diminishing of their attractions. The same percentage of people in that study experienced a change in their attractions as we see in successful treatment for depression, the same success rate.
Yeah, and let's pick it up right there, because the fact that it may be hard for any particular area of counseling to reach an objective doesn't mean that you stop the counseling. So, for example, it may be hard in cases of people who are suffering depression to overcome that depressive experience. It may be hard for somebody who's anorexic bulimia, who is looking at the mirror and their self-image is that they're overweight when in fact they're really not. It may be hard for them to ultimately get into a normal reality. But that doesn't mean, therefore, that you stop the counseling because it still has a benefit.
That's right. That's right. The other thing that's important to note is that change does not mean the problem goes away completely and never comes back again. For example, with depression, a client is considered successful not because they no longer have another depressive thought, but because they know what to do with that depressive thought when it starts to occur. The same thing with anxiety. They're successful when they are able to combat the anxious thinking or the obsessive compulsive thinking or whatever the issue is. It doesn't mean they never have that tendency or that that potential in them. It just means now they understand it, they know what to do with it, and they know how to live beyond it and above it, and they probably don't experience it as frequently.
And the key is really getting to the root of the problem. I mean, however you express your behavior, there's really a root cause for that, right?
Yes,
so as a counselor, you can help them with that.
That's right, and that's what therapy is. That's exactly right, going to the root of it. So where are these attractions coming from, and what is underlying the feelings and the attraction?
Well, the third area, we already talked about born gay. That's a myth. It's not true. You can't change. That's a myth. You can change. And then the third one is they say, well, any attempts to change is actually harmful to the person.
Yes. You know, this is interesting because the professional associations have, many of them, because of political activism, have made statements that change is harmful, but not backed by research. The biggest association, the American Psychological Association, they assembled a task force of six people who were very biased. They were against change efforts, and they said, look at the literature. Let's see what the research says. So in 2009, they presented their report on the findings from the research, and they said, they talked about how they think it's harmful and all the negative things, but they said, but the recent studies don't allow us to say whether or not it's harmful. So in other words, there's no research to support it, but we think it's harmful.
Yeah, and in fact, they also said that there needs to be more study in the area, and they said that there is no studies on minors.
Oh, that's a good point. Yes, yes.
And yet here you have a law that's banning counseling in which even the APA, as liberal as it is in this issue, acknowledges that there's no study regarding minors with regards to whether it's harmful or whether you can change or not.
Wow, isn't that interesting? And then the other thing is that people quote this. In fact, when they passed this ordinance in West Palm Beach, one of the therapists quoted all the harmful effects that come. But what she was quoting from this report is they said that some people perceived harm, but we couldn't tell whether that really came from therapy or they may have felt this way already. They went on to say, you know, some people felt shameful and guilty and all of these things. But in that report, the very next sentence says, and some people perceived therapy helped them. But when people talk about the research, they quote these lines, and these are perceptions that people had. The research does not say it came from therapy. There is no research that says therapy has been harmful when dealing with this issue.
Well, and if a client is coming to you in any area, this area, just push this to the side for a second, in any area, and they drop out in the middle of counseling.
Yes.
You know, the fact is that they drop out and they don't want to continue, and they may be more frustrated because they didn't reach their objective, but yet they're not pursuing their objective.
Right.
Doesn't mean that the counseling itself is wrong or harmful.
Absolutely. For any issue, clients can feel worse before they feel better. You know, psychiatric hospitalization, a lot of times people that are released from a psychiatric hospital for suicidal thinking go on to commit suicide. You know what I mean? People sometimes will get worse before they get better, but certainly what you're saying, if they drop out midway, they haven't reached resolution of their problem, and they will tend to feel worse.
It's like detoxing. It's always bad at the beginning until you finally get it all out and clean yourself out, so to speak. And it must be frustrating to you as a counselor to see this political agenda driving, you know, and keeping you from helping these kids.
Absolutely. It's very frustrating.
Well, our guest is Dr. Julie Hamilton, and we're talking to her. She is a licensed counselor in Florida. She is the past president of NARTH, which is an organization. Now it has a longer name. It's the Alliance for Therapeutic Change and Scientific Integrity, and she's the past president of that organization that is a group of counselors across the country that are specialized in lots of different areas of counseling, but also deal with this issue of change therapy. These bans on change therapy literally have the government come into the privacy of a counseling room and have Big Brother looking over your shoulder saying to you as the client or you as the counselor what you can and cannot talk about. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Stay with us at Liberty Counsel's website to follow this case and other issues. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.